So the question was asked, how do we define pride? That the Torah tells us to stay away from pride. So it's a little bit difficult to define things because we have to use words and each word needs to be defined. So it's a little bit difficult, so we have to use examples and then hope that we understand using the examples. There is basic, healthy pride, which everyone needs. And we live in a generation where that basic, healthy pride is non-existent and is unusually weakened, and that's why so many people have to go to psychologists, and we have a concept called I don't like myself. Things that didn't really exist in previous generations, definitely not to the extent they exist today. So we have to know that what we might call the most basic form of pride, the most basic form of self, that's not even called pride in the Torah. That's called being a normal, healthy person. That is the right to exist. We live in a time where that's not a given. You have many people here who will openly tell you, I don't feel like I have a right to exist. We're terrible people. We kicked the Palestinians out of this country and we did terrible war crimes. And look, there was a prime minister who said, I can't say that someone's wrong for being Hamas. His name was Ehud Barak. Before he was prime minister, he said, it's perfectly legitimate. If I were a Palestinian, I'd be Hamas too. He goes on record saying that. Ehud Barak. So you have a situation where in our day and age we have to address something which previous generations didn't have to address. It's not even pride, it's a misuse of the word. It's the basic self-worth that every individual must have. That is, I exist. I have a right to exist. God wants me to exist. God gave me a purpose in this world. And I shouldn't be stepped on, and I shouldn't be spat upon, and I shouldn't be killed. This really touches on very, very basic points of right to exist and live, and the right to be happy. And it is a concept which is misapplied. People apply it where they don't have a right to apply it. People will say, I have a right to be happy in this marriage. Wrong. Your happiness is something that has to be within. If you marry a witch that's going to wake you in the morning by pouring a boiling cup of tea on your head, you're right, you have a problem. But if you say, this relationship doesn't speak to me, you know, I don't feel like I'm being fulfilled. I don't have the drive to make this work anymore. I don't hear the birds chirping when I wake up in the morning. I have a right to happiness in this marriage. That's ridiculous. Happiness begins with you. So yes, on the one hand, there's a healthy form of self-worth that every person's entitled to and should have. Then to take it and project it outwardly, and say what you mean to me and what my children mean to me and what life means to me and what Torah means to me, people decide that they don't have this healthy form of self-worth. So then they define other things, whether they will fulfill that healthy self-worth for themselves. People say, you know, I don't feel like keeping Torah today. Today it just doesn't feel right anymore. So what? I don't enjoy it. I don't connect with it. You know, these are terms that are used today. It doesn't give me the high it used to. It's not as appealing as it used to be. No one said you keep Torah because it's appealing. There's one area where Chazal said your drive should define what you do. In learning Torah, Chazal said, look within learning Torah for things that you have a drive for, because you'll be more successful in them. But you can't say, today I don't feel like keeping Lashon Hara. I'll go badmouth everyone. I don't connect with that mitzvah today. Doesn't work that way. We have 613. We're responsible for them. And this applies not only to the Torah, it applies to our relationships with other people. On the one hand, we shouldn't let people trample all over us. We should have healthy self-worth. On the other hand, we cannot define a relationship based upon whether that relationship will give me what I'm lacking, the most basic healthy self-worth. And we live in a day where these concepts are just confused. So I have to begin with saying we're not talking about that. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about pride, what are we talking about? So that goes on to the next step, and this step I can only think of explaining it all at once, and you'll see that the applications, in order not to contradict what we just said, the applications have to be taken in moderation. In a nutshell, the idea is that I have to know what we just said. I have to know I have a right to exist, I have a right to be happy, I should be happy, God loves me, that's why He created me, I'm a very important being in this world, I'm important to God. But then we come to step two. What am I? What defines me? And what can I take pride in? So people will say, I'm brilliant. I graduated Harvard sum cum laude, whatever it is. I'm a genius. That's where pride walks in. Wait a second. You have to do things that are positive. You have to produce, you have to be a productive individual. But how much of that do you have a right to take credit for? Pride is synonymous with falsehood. The pride that we speak about when we speak about gava. Pride is when a person takes credit for something that's not his. Oh yes, I got up early in the morning. I worked for 30 years straight till I discovered the cure for cancer. But how much of that can I take credit for? Who gave me the capacity to think? Who gave me the capacity to work? Who gave me the mind that I have? I used the tools that I were given, and I used them well. Other people did not. But at the end of the day, 99% of what I used is not mine. I can't take credit for 99% of the work I've done. 99%. Life, I didn't give myself life. The mere fact that I'm breathing, intellect, education. What's the difference between me and a monkey on the tree? I take no credit for that. I choose to live a life that's different than a monkey, and that I could take some credit.
Let's just speak, Josh. I was going
to
let him answer the question.
Can you repeat that again, Rob? I'm sorry, I was not dreaming.
Change your advice on how to do that.
Can you just repeat it once more? I just want to get that line. I want to remember it the rest of my life.
We have to be realistic. Realistic means understanding our self-worth in a healthy way, and yet not taking credit for things that really we have no right to take credit for. We have responsibilities in this life, and we have to live up to those responsibilities, but we also have to know that we're given many, many, many gifts, and much of our capacity to do things is not something that we gained. It's something that was given to us. A guy says, but I got a 1600 on the SATs. That's how I got into Harvard. And we say, fine, but you didn't grow up in the middle of an African jungle being chased by different tribesmen. You had the ability to sit down and study. So what? Why do you think you're better than someone else? You were given so many tools. The story is told that the Chafetz Chaim once walked into shul and saw people laughing at a retarded individual. And he looked at them in shock. He said, what are you laughing at him for? He's a tzaddik. They said, what? Chafetz Chaim said, you know why God made him retarded? Because he doesn't have any more responsibilities to do in this life. He had one more thing to do in this life, and that's why God didn't want him to have a chance to mess up anything. We were given intellect, we were given the capacity to do so many things because we have so many things to fix. Our neshama has so many things left to fix in itself, so it was given all the tools that we have. That person, his neshama is almost finished. It had one more thing to do. God said, I don't want to give it a chance to mess up, so I'll put it down in the world as a retarded person. When he walks into the room, you should all stand up for him. You're making fun of him? Now, if we think about it for a moment, every time we look down at someone or we look up at ourselves, we're lying. We're taking credit for something which really, the majority of it, we don't have a right to take credit for. Now, I said at the beginning that I can only explain this like all at once. You understand that if someone takes this concept, he just heard it today, applies it, So he's going to automatically go in contradiction with the first concept we said. It takes balance and thought and development in life to be able to use this correctly and not end up in an unhealthy state where a person says, okay, so I'm nothing. You know, I'm nothing. I didn't say we're nothing. I just said 99% of what we did, we can't take credit for. And that is where pride that we're learning in the Mishnah and in the Rambam, that's where that comes in. When a person starts taking credit for all these external things and all of his accomplishments. So that's not to say a person should feel bad when he's done good, but a person should be realistic. When a person is realistic, he has anava. What is anava? Anava is the recognition that I am a tool of Hashem. I have responsibilities, and I'm going to try to live up to those responsibilities. But at the end of the day, if I caused the sea to split, I caused the Nile to turn to blood, I caused frogs to jump out of the Nile, I brought food down from heaven for 2 million people, and then the Jews come and complain to me. They say, the water is bitter. What are we going to do now? So I could say, hey, wait a second, I'll get back to you. Or I could say, v'nachnu ma? What do you want from me? I've never done anything. That's Moshe's answer. Moshe says, I never did anything. What do you want from me? Lo aleinu tlunotechem. What does the pasuk continue and say? Your complaint isn't against me. Ki al Hashem, it's all on God. What am I? You're the leader. No, I'm not. I'm the public servant. I'm the one who God uses as his staff. I'm God's messenger. I have a responsibility. I'm taking care of their responsibility. I'm doing it. But I'm not looking down at you. No. V'nachnu ma? What are we? That's the anava of Moshe Rabbeinu. The recognition that he is a tool of Hashem. When a person recognizes that he was given tools, he was given talent, he doesn't have to think he's the dumbest person on earth. No. But he recognizes it's a tool that God gave me and I have a job to do in this world. Well, maybe someone who has other tools has another job. I have no reason to look down at them. And it should reach a point where a person can look at everyone and say, Chaviva Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Look at how God loved humanity. He created humanity in His form. Doesn't say Jew. It says human being. Chaviv HaAdam. All of humanity. We're not talking about Jew and non-Jew. The Jew was given an extra gift, the Torah. So he has extra responsibility. Chibay Yetera. He has extra love. But Chaviv HaAdam. God loves humanity. This can go off on a tangent, which I would want to go off on. So we'll go off on one more tangent. This leads us to a point where people get confused. We've covered the point of humility, I think. We've covered the point of pride, I think.
We've covered pride, but I don't think we've covered humility.
Really? So I think if pride is taking credit where I don't have a right to take credit, it's the lack of recognition that I'm here to do a certain role, then humility is when I recognize that I'm a vessel. I was given tools, but I'm supposed to use them correctly. I'm an Eved Hashem. What's Moshe's claim to fame? We say it on Shabbos. Yismach Moshe b'matenat chilko ki Eved ne'eman karatalo. He's called a trusted servant. That's the best he could do. Maybe Moshe should be happy. God calls him a king. Vayivishurun melech. Doesn't say he's happy about that. He's happy that he's called an Eved Ne'eman, a trusted servant. That's the true happiness. When a person says, I've been faithful to my capacity, to my potential in this world. I was put down here with a responsibility and I've lived up to the potential. And if we'd really be true to ourselves, we'd know that we're falling short of our potential. Moshe could be happy. He's the only one. Moshe, Moshe. There's no psik. There's no pause. Moshe lived up to his potential. The only one we know of in world history. Lived up to his potential. Avram not. Yaakov not. Moshe, yes. He could be happy. We should also be happy, but we should also be realistic. When a person is realistic and he's truthful, emet and anavar are synonymous. David, clear?
Yes, sir.